this type of thing has been around ever since there's been Baptist churches. When they get set up, they have a certain belief system that's based entirely on Scripture. And what they do is they write down what the Scripture teaches us about starting churches, about doing things in churches, about what churches believe. And when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves," you've got to know what that means. You've got to know what is false when it comes to prophets. A lot of folks go to different churches, go to different places. It can be as far as somebody from Joel Osteen, as close as somebody in our own ranks. But if they stray from what the Bible says, if they stray from what the your statement of faith, what do you believe in? The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith. Do we know what the faith is? I know that sounds simple, but do we really know what the faith is? If somebody asks you, if you get baptized, does that send you to heaven? You've got to know that the answer to that is no. It's not what sends you to heaven. What sends you to heaven is belief in Jesus Christ. And I know that sounds simple to you, but not everybody knows these things. And I'm going to be honest with you, sitting at Brother Thompson's funeral, watching another one of the warriors go to heaven.
Yes.
I'm 40 years old. I saw myself, and if you could get somebody to run them, that'd be great. If not, that's okay. You look at your own mortality when you're at these funerals and you're surrounded by people that knew this man probably closer than I did. Probably better than I did. But I know this. When it comes my time, if the rapture doesn't happen, when it comes my time, there's something that I pray is said about me. I pray that the folks that talk about me say, "He stood for the Scriptures." There's a lot of things that I would like said. I'd like to have said that I was a good dad. I would like it to be said that I was a good husband. I'd like it to be said that I was a decent preacher. But I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be known for standing for God's Word.
Amen.
I want to be known as somebody that wanted to spread the gospel, and I don't spread the gospel near like I should. But as I sat there and they talked about Brother Thompson, which I thought one of the greatest things ever was draping that Christian flag over his casket, I'm going to tell you right now, that should be protocol for preachers. That should be protocol for preachers. I've never seen that done, but that should be protocol. If my dad ever passes away, there's going to be a Christian flag draped on his casket. I guarantee you that. But when they started talking about Brother Thompson, they talked about how generous he was. They talked about how he was a warrior. They talked about how his voice boomed when he preached. They talked about the things that he did in his life, but the one thing that stuck with me more than anything else was he was an advocate and a standard and a soldier for the King James Bible.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that he was those things.
Yes.
The Bible says in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures."
Yes.
"For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." As we go into studying the doctrinal statement of faith, you must understand something very clearly. All these things that are in this paper are derived from the Scripture. They're not derived from a bunch of men sitting around saying this is the way we ought to do things. Jesus came down to this earth and established the local church. He established the local church and gave us a very strict set of guidelines and rules. We are not at liberty to break those guidelines. We are not at liberty to go outside those rules. He did not say pastor can run the church as pastor sees fit. He said pastor can run the church inside these guidelines, guided by the Holy Spirit, and he is not permitted to go outside. Where we run into problems is men start to put their own thoughts in. They start to put their own belief system in. I'm going to be honest with you. We're not afforded that. We're not afforded the responsibility of doing things the way we see fit. That's where we go into trouble. What I love and adore about Brother Thompson is he would not go outside of the guidelines.
Amen.
Right.
He would not go outside of the rules. The Lord set us a plan of rules.
That's right.
And me being the younger generation, I'm not going outside of those rules.
Amen.
I'm not going outside of those guidelines, and I'll tell you why. There were men that gave their lives,
yes,
with golden faces. Faces set like stone, set like a flint towards the mark that Christ had set before them.
Yes.
There were men that started their lives and lived their lives consistently, standing by the word of God, standing by the rules and doctrine that Jesus Christ set forward for his church. He said, this is the way you should go. Do not go away from the old path. And I, for one, am not going to be the kid that breaks that path. I'm not going to be the weak link in the chain. I'm going to promise you with all my heart, as long as I have breath in these lungs, as long as I have thunder in this voice, I will be one that stands as an advocate of what Christ has set forward for this church. And I promise you, I will not vary for it, even for one moment. I'm not going to have it said of me, he stood for a while. I'm not going to be one of the side note stories that said, boy, he stood firm in the beginning. But at the end, he started to change. My dad deserves better than that. My ancestors deserve better than that. This church deserves better than that.
Yes.
Brother Thompson deserves better than that.
Yes.
The people that have gone before us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ deserves better than that. I implore you to stand firm with steadfastness. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. Not trusting in what Brother Dave has to say. Not trusting in what our pastor has to say. But as long as our pastor and Brother Dave line up with this, trust what is being said. That's what we need to do as Christians today. What would you like said about you? What would you like said about you when your time comes? Would you like to be said that you were generous? Amen. Would you like it to be said that you're a great Christian? Amen. But the most thing I want to be said about me is, he stood for the book.
Amen.
He stood for the book.
Yes.
All parts of it, front to back. I want to stand for the book. And I implore you as Christians to stand for the book as well. I want to have a moment of prayer this morning. We're going to go over this. I'm going to try to go through it quickly as possible because I want to get past it and I want to get on to what the next parts of this brings forward. But I want you to understand, I stand here today to give you truth from Scripture, not to give you a fleshly account or to make people mad and make them walk out or make them mad and say things that I ought not say, and I don't want to do any of those things. I just want you to be aware of what you are signed up for when you became a Christian. I want you to be aware of what we're supposed to believe in. I want you to be aware of what has been set before us. And if the Bible says to beware of false prophets, those are people that go against what the Scripture says. They go against what God hath said. That's what it is. God hath said. They're going against that. That makes them a false prophet. Can't get around it, can't pretty it up, can't make it sugar-coated. And I'm not doing any of this fleshly. I hope you understand that. But as a pastor, as a preacher, don't you think it's my job? Don't you think it's my job to go ahead and say what the Bible says?
Amen.
Do I want to be the one laying in that casket and said, you didn't warn me? Do I want to be that guy that saw the lamb covered wolf I don't want to be that guy that, well, the wolf ate my flock here. The wolf ate my people because my pastor didn't warn me. No, I don't want to be that guy. Let's have a moment of prayer this morning and we'll go ahead and get started. Brother Bob Shell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we do thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you for being in your house, Lord. We thank you for your scriptures that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the men in this church that stand for it. Lord, I pray you be with Brother Dave, Lord. Help him to say all the things that you want him to say, Lord. Help him to speak the truth from the Bible, Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The next verse says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You must understand, when they first come, when the false prophets come, they don't look so bad. Matter of fact, they may look good. A wolf in sheep's clothing would be, let's have drums up on the platform. Let's have the world, because we want the world to come. By the way, what a beautiful crowd this is this morning. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day. Glory to God. I'm so excited about having a nice day outside. I'm so excited that I've got three beautiful children. I'm so excited that I've got a wonderful wife that takes care of them, because I don't do much. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm thankful to be a dad. I really am. I believe that my children would be proud to say that I stand for the book. I hope they do. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, let's turn there quickly. Acts chapter 17, we're going to read verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, because of that, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. We must search the scriptures. We must make them part of our lives. We must not believe commentaries of men. We must not believe things that have been set forth by sinful man. We must believe what the scriptures say. We must make it part of our life. We must be willing to diligently search. Here is where America has faltered. Here is where Christian folks have faltered. They have ceased to search the scriptures. They have ceased to search the scriptures because it's much easier to read some book written by some guy that they have no idea who he is. They have no idea what kind of life he leads. They would rather read that than read what God has to say. They would rather agree with the crowd. They would rather agree with the mainstream. They would rather agree with what's going on in the world than agree with what God hath said. Now, understand, what God has said sometimes isn't pretty for you and I. But it is true. And what's hard for people and hard for me sometimes, well, glory to God, Brother Dave, I read the scriptures and I just don't understand them sometimes. That's okay, me too. But I still search them. There's a prayer that I pray before I read. Holy Spirit, please, let me know what I'm reading today. Let me know what I'm reading today, because I don't want to misinterpret what you're saying. I don't want to misinterpret what yea hath God said. Because let me ask you a question. If you misinterpret what God says in one place, how do you know you're not misinterpreting your salvation? Oh, we all have everything buckled down, right? We all have everything buckled down in the Scripture, and because we have everything buckled down in the Scripture, there's nothing that we can put by you as pastors. I don't believe that. You may believe things because I say them, but I wish that you would believe things because you read them. The Bible says, I want you to turn to it, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. My my favorite verses. The first thing in the doctrinal statement of faith is the inspiration of the Scriptures. Why in the world would you start there? Why in the world wouldn't I? If you know me at all, you know that's where I'm going to start. But to be real honest with you, that's where your statement of faith starts. Now, why? Why in the world would it start there? Now, I want to ask you a question. I've used this illustration a lot, but I want to ask you a question. Take the Bible out of the conversation. What do you know of Christ? I love it. People say, well, glory to God, we don't need the Bible. We don't need it. What do you know about God if you have no words to read of Him? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need every one. You spend 6 seconds in the NIV and you're going to find something missing. So if you have something missing, then it is not the Word of God. It's just the way it is, because we have to have every word. You're not willing to trade in your eternal security. I'm not willing to trade in the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I want to know about Christ. I don't want to know what man thinks about Christ. I want to know what God says about Christ. Amen? Why do we start with the Scriptures? Because in them, contained in the book that we read, the King James Bible, that is the pure, perfect, inspired Word of God. In that book, in the book that we hold so dear, and you ought to hold it dear, every part, every issue about the Baptist Church, every issue comes forth out of that book. If we don't have that book, don't worry about having the statement of faith. If we don't have that book, don't worry about having the Baptist Church. If we don't have that book, don't worry about salvation. If we don't have that book, how in the world do you know anything? That puts us on scary ground, because if you don't read about Him in that book, then how do you know anything? We're easily tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine if we are not anchored therein. How hard is it to understand who Christ is? Oh, God is love. God is great. God is fuzzy wuzzy. And God is that same God that went inside the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. The same man. How well do you know your Lord? How well do you read your Bible? I've got to know of Him. In Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Men make the vast majority of their mistakes talking about the King James Bible right here in verse 7. The Bible says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The vast majority of men make big mistakes right there in saying that men have had anything to do at all with our having our Bible. I've made this statement a lot. I'll make it a lot more. You've got to understand something. Men had nothing to do with bringing you your word. Men had nothing to do, and I understand and I appreciate the diligent work of the Masoretic priests. I diligently understand that they worked so hard and they suffered, and many men gave their lives for this book because they cared about the Word of God. They loved the Word of God, and I understand all those things. But do you realize next year that this book is going to be celebrating in the English language 400 years? 400 years. That's not because men did it. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. A statement of faith of this church. We believe the book. Unequivocally, unashamedly, I believe the book. The book is everything that it claims to be. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant, perfect, preserved, holy. And I'm so thankful that men had nothing to do with that. As much as my pastor loves the Bible, I'm not waiting for his translation or interpretation. We've got it in our hands. You don't have to speak Greek or Hebrew. You don't have to be able to read Aramaic. You don't have to have Strong's Concordance. You don't have to have commentaries given forth by Westcott and Hort to realize that they were bad people. You don't have to realize, oh, well, glory to God, we've got to have somebody smarter tell us what it is. Oh, no, this book is written in common English so you can read it. This book is written in a common language that if you just take 10 seconds to diligently search it out, I promise you that the Lord will give you great insight as to what he wants us to know. It's amazing that we, as humans, say, well, God kept it secret from me. Do you think that the Lord wants it to be secret from you? In this independent, fundamental, King James blood-washed Baptist church that you are in, we believe in the Bible. Amen. The King James Bible. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in one God eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These are co-equal, three in one, called the Trinity. I'm not going to take time to turn to every scripture, but I've given you this paper so you can read the scriptures that go along with these. You must understand, for every one of these statements of faith, there's a reason that they are put in there. The reason that they are put in there is because there are churches out there that teach that these aren't true. Now, wait a minute. How do they get away with that? How do they get away with teaching these things are untrue? Because they're perfectly shown to you in the scriptures. It's not a guessing game with God. Immersion of baptism was never a guessing game with God. It was never a guessing game on how we were supposed to do things. It was never a guessing game on how we were to lead somebody to Christ. You're not to lead somebody to Christ with your own story. You're not to lead somebody to Christ with your own fairy tale that you make up. You are to lead somebody to Christ with the Word of God. Not that difficult. I told you last week, show me somewhere in the Bible where somebody led somebody to Christ without the Word. Right. Well, you may say, well, Jesus Christ did it. You laugh, but I've had that said to me. I think the author is allowed to say what he wants to say. He's God. The words that come out of his mouth are the Word of God. That's a difficult one to understand. I tripped on that one, brother. Hard to swallow that one. Let me ask you a question, and it's been posed to me. I may not get off this. I'm just going to be honest with you, because this is the battle that we're facing. How can you lead somebody to Christ with the NIV? Man, that's tough. Scary. It's scary is what it is. How can you lead somebody to Christ without the Word of God? If you would submit to me that the NIV is the Word of God, I would submit to you, then why do we need every word? I've had that said to me, and I have a question. It seems to be a simple question, Brother Mike. It really does. See, I'm a simplistic fella. I don't have a lot of knowledge. I don't have a lot of intellect, but I do have this. I do have just a little bit of horse sense in me. It seems to me that we are willing, if you'll say amen to this, that we trust God for our eternal security. I believe that we trust God for our eternal soul and salvation. I believe that we trust God, that he's willing to keep us saved. No man shall pluck you out of my hand, no man shall pluck you out of my Father's hand. I think we all understand that. But there's a lot of folks out there that use the King James Bible. I'm talking to you today. You use the King James Bible. You use the Word of God. I don't even like to say King James Bible anymore. That ought to raise some eyebrows. I like to say the Word of God in our language. It's the Word of God in our language. The Bible says in Matthew that we need every word. So if we need every word for everyday life, don't you think that we need every word for our eternal life? Doesn't that make sense? When did God give us the ability to lead a soul to Christ with what we have on our mind? When did Christ say, you know what, Brother Shell, you're a good man? I'm calling down from heaven today to say you can tell people whatever you want to, as long as you talk about me. Is that what he said? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Bob Shell's word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by whatever Pastor Skiver has to say on his mind. So then faith cometh by hearing, and whatever Brother Dave teaches you about salvation is what you need to have. No, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have faith, how can you be saved? We believe in the incarnation of Christ. We believe that he was the only begotten of the Father, not the only Son. He's not the only Son. Because in the Bible, it talks about me being a son. It talks about you being a son. Hey, listen to me. We are joint. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hey, listen. I need to have this book just to shout hallelujah about that alone. Glory to God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you let me be a maintenance man in the toilets of heaven, I'd be excited. But I'm not a maintenance man or a janitor. I am a joint heir. And I hear that resounding from the Word of God. We believe that he came down to this earth in the form of a man, breathed the putrescent air of a stable, walked this earth for 33 and some odd years, and we beat him. We crucified him. We regiled him and reviled him. Put a crown of thorns upon his brow and watched him as he gave up the ghost for you and for me. Glory to God. On Father's Day, this may not seem like the greatest thing or the greatest subject to talk about, but I'm going to be honest with you, as simplistic as this is, I believe it's needful. I believe it's needful to know what you believe. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Dr. Hiles wrote a wonderful book called Meet the Holy Spirit. We allow, as Baptists, the charismatic crowd to claim the Holy Spirit. We allow, as Baptists, the charismatic crowd to enjoy the gifts, so-called, that they believe they're getting gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to be honest with you. Dr. Hiles taught us in this book that we should talk to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how we avoid that conversation. You know, it's amazing. I talk all the time about how sinful we are and dogs we are and things of that nature, and I understand all that's true in the Bible, but can I help you understand something else, Brother Kenny? We may be those things. But do you know God sent down the Holy Spirit to dwell in here, to comfort you, to love you, to care about you, to help direct our paths? Why? Because he loves us so much. There's a fine line as a preacher of how do you walk holy and yet be still a sinner? Jesus makes this possible. He makes it possible to do your best to live a separated life. He teaches us how in the Scriptures. He teaches us how to do things as unto others as you would have them do to you. He teaches you how to do these things if we would just be willing to let the Spirit lead us a little bit. And I'm not talking about the fuzzy-wuzzy, come and let me lay my hands on you and you'll be saved and fall down and big men will catch you and leave your offering on the way out in the big Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. I'm talking about true Holy Spirit. You're talking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's saying, listen to me, listen to me. This is what I want from your life. This is what I want to happen with your life. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit really is real. It really desires. And how wonderful is it that the Comforter has come? The Bible says he's the God of all comfort. Why do we believe these things? Because it's in the book. I'm so thankful for it being in the book. We believe when it talks about man that man, created in the image of God, sinned and thereby incurred not only physical death but also spiritual death, which is separation from God, and all human beings are born with a sin nature, and those who reach moral responsibility must receive Jesus Christ as Savior in order to have reconciliation to God. Well, that's a lot of words, brother. Yeah, I know. You know what it means? You're a sinner. You need Christ. We all are sinners. We all need Christ. Do you know the need for Christ doesn't stop at salvation? You still need Him. You still need Him. What's scary is the Bible teaches that we are, as lost people, unable to discern what the Scripture says. Unable to discern what it's trying to teach us. And the Lord yet still lets us in on a little secret. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him, and He will save your soul. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ does that. I'm so thankful that He gave us words so easy to understand. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal. If you don't have the right words, how are you going to know? Boy, that's good preaching. Thank you, brother. We believe in the blood atonement. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the... Amen, brother. As a substitutionary sacrifice, and that all who believe in Him are justified through the shedding of His blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. This is what I want to put forward to you. I had this put forward to me. Well, when you're out soul winning, brother, you believe in the Word so hard, you're so narrow-minded. I'm not narrow-minded about the Scripture. Let me clarify. I'm not narrow-minded about the Scripture. I'm only-minded about the Scripture. There's a big difference. Well, do you present to the people that they must read from this book before they can be saved? No. That's not what the Bible says. So then faith cometh by? You must hear what God has to say. And when it talks about... Listen, I don't have guts enough in my body, or I'm not foolish enough, one, to let me be the one to tell somebody in my words how to be saved. I must tell them, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I must tell them that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I must tell them that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've got to tell them that. Because that's how God said to do it. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ gave us an easy map. He didn't leave it in our hands. He didn't leave it up to our discretion. I'm so thankful that He died for me. I'm so thankful that He gave me the wonderful, wonderful truth about dying for me in this book. We believe in the resurrection, ascension, and advocacy. We believe in the literal resurrection of the crucified body of Jesus Christ. Glory to God, we don't serve a dead Savior. Glory to God, we serve someone that is risen. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we'd be a little blushed and red-faced to know how much Jesus knows about our lives. And I'm so thankful that even knowing so much about our lives, He still says, Captain Freimeyer, I know you're a sinner, but I need you, brother. He calls you brother. Join air with Jesus. Listen to me now. You got to listen to this. We have a job to do to tell the world about a Savior who loves us and died for us. The world is given into the culture of today, presenting rock bands and wonderful fairy tales to people saying, this will get them to Christ. Presenting that as long as they come to the altar, everything will be all right. There's two times when you go to the altar, I love this. Brother Willette said this, I love it. Two times when you go to the altar, when the Lord speaks to you and when the Lord doesn't. Boy, that's good preaching. He got me sitting there, and I'm just sitting listening to him. Man, he's a good preacher. Oh, man, I'm just sitting there just sponging it in. He's laying it on. He said, early time, two times when you go to the altar, brother. And after he got done saying, thinking, woo-hoo. How many times have I sat in a service and said, you know, I didn't get anything today? Then the question is posed in front of me. Well, I didn't get anything today. And the Lord resoundingly says, why? Why didn't you get anything today? Did you come today looking for a blessing? Did you come today prayed up, saying, Lord, please anoint the pastor's lips that I may hear something from you? Did you do that today? Or did you come just saying, you know what, I'm going to sit here because I can fill a pew? The Lord calls to you from on high right now, saying, my under-shepherd has something for you to hear today. Will you be willing to hear? Will you be willing to listen? Will you be willing to open your heart to what your pastor has to say to you today? Or will you come as solid as a rock? Lord, you're not going to bless me out of this seat. You try all you want. I'm keeping my arms crossed and my frown turned down. I'm not going to hear a word you got to say. How many times have we left this church? I'm just not being fed. I'm just not being fed. You go home and call somebody. Are you being fed? I love that spiritual term that people have. I'm not being fed. You know why you're not being fed, dummy? Two reasons. You're not hungry, and you got your mouth closed. The Bible says, open your mouth wide so I may fill it. Sad thing is we've got our mouth too full of words to have anything else come in. Everybody pulling their feet back this morning, aren't they? Well, I'm just sick of coming to Sunday school and hearing all this stuff about my life. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. You know what the Lord's telling you from heaven today? He loves you. He loves you today. We spend more time fussing and feuding over things that we ought not fuss and feud over. We spend more time trying to beat back truth. Oh, man, you need to hear that. Oh, that is good stuff. Man alive, I wish I had another 25 minutes. We spend more time trying to beat back truth so it makes us feel good. Yeah. Bible talks about it in Romans, doesn't it, preacher? Where they took truth, got rid of it, and believed a lie.
Yeah.
Why? Because it made them feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want to be buried saying, well, he had the truth at one time, but he gave it up and believed a lie so his pews would be filled. I got to be honest with you. I love this. It's one of the greatest things for a preacher to have in his heart. To know that it's not our job to fill the pews. Please understand that. It's not our job. The Bible says preach the word. That's what it says. It says preach the word. And if you don't know you've got a pastor that loves you, good Lord, have mercy on your soul. You've got the most loving and long-suffering pastor I've ever met in my entire life. You've got a man that prays for you, that loves you, that cares about you, and painstakingly gives us the truth. Amen. And he's taught me so. And I'm going to give him a promise that I'm never going to go away from the truth.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care if I'm preaching to my family only.
Amen.
My family would come to church if I was the only one going on. Because they want to hear truth. Not because of me. Please understand, not because of me. People in America today, and I'm all done, they're dying to hear truth. They're dying to hear truth. They don't want to see some guy pasty face with a mullet come out and tell them, well, Jesus just loves you today. You're just so full of joy. No matter what you do, it's all right in my Father's house. Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If I'm not preaching from the word, preacher better fire me. We've got through the vast majority of this. We will definitely finish this up next week, and I want to give you some examples. examples where men screw up. To think that I'm never screwed up is such a lie. I screw up this morning 6 or 7 times. If you'd be honest with yourself, so did you. That's why we've got to let God be the one who goes before us, not us. Let God be the one. If I don't let him go, I am going to screw it up. Just read. You need to read this. We've got one more page. I just knew I wasn't going to get through it. That's why I didn't make the copies of it. We got one more page of this to go. We'll get through it, and I'm going to just talk to you a little bit. Just talk to you a little bit about how much the Lord loves you. Loves you enough to give us rules. I love my children, so I give them rules. I love my children, so I give them guidelines. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to teach Sunday school class, and I pray with all my heart that none of what I do is in the flesh. Oh God, I love these people with all my heart, and I love your word. And Lord, I'm going to be an advocate. Lord, help me. I'm begging you to help me. Help me stay with the Bible the rest of my life. Lord, you got to help me, because in a world where folks are wanting to take away from the Scriptures or add to the Scriptures or change things, Lord, all we have is based on this. Oh God, let us realize the gravity of the situation and be willing to shut our mouths and serve you. Oh God, help us. Help me to fill my mouth with your words, not fill it with mine. Help me to hunger today for what my pastor has to teach me. Come down in a special way. Go down each and every one of these pews and anoint my pastor. Anoint him and have him preach to us exactly what you'd have him to preach. Because, Lord, that's what we need from you today. Lord, bless each and every one of us. Let them know how much they're loved. And Lord, be with us throughout the whole entire day. And I thank God for Father's Day. I thank you for my father. Lord, be with him today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.